On a Tuesday morning, it is time once again for our morning conversation. This week's guest is SIUC Chancellor Rita Chang. Chancellor, thanks for coming in this morning.
I'm glad to be here, Jennifer.
We're kind of in that middle time in the summer semester where you're still trying to get those students through that summer semester time, but also gearing up for fall. But what I really wanted to start off with is we are now 9 days into a new fiscal year. You got good news at the end of May when the legislature passed its budget, and it included a nearly flat budget for higher education. I wonder how the budget looks for the university now that you've gotten things going for this fiscal year.
Well, this certainly is the best budget that I've had since becoming chancellor in Carbondale over 3 years ago. So a flat appropriation was very good news for the campus, and with the modest tuition increase for new students coming in and the overall work that we're doing to build enrollment, we're going to see, I think, a very positive budget. We're going to be able to make do. The one major expense we have is the launch of our new student services building and the cleaning and support for that, as well as the 2% salary increase that we are committed to for all of our faculty and staff. And so there will be some reallocating and shifting of resources to those priorities, but that's a very small adjustment for our campus compared to what we have in the last 3 years.
I know when you've started fiscal years in the past, as you've mentioned, it's been a lot more difficult. And when the Board of Trustees reduced the tuition increase that you were asking for earlier this year, there was some concern about that reallocation and those moving around of funds hitting people and having to cut perhaps some staff or perhaps some hours of some staff. Does this protect against that?
It sure does. And we're getting good, I think, at doing more with less. And you will continue to see shifting of services, realignments, and looking for ways to get our important work done with less staff. So we're continuing the hiring freeze, which really means that we're scrutinizing every hire. And we will, you know, really tighten our belt and continue that in the future. But no dramatic budget cuts, no dramatic layoffs.
You mentioned the student services building and working on enrollment and retention measures. That building is very nearly finished as you drive by to the entrance on the east side of campus. What do you expect as it rolls out and all the missions that are going on in there rolls out? What will students see in terms of differences this fall?
Well, clearly it's strategically located next to the student services building. And having the student center and the student services building next to each other really mean that the hub of the campus activity will take place there. So students' non-academic needs as well as their first-year advising needs are in that building. If they're thinking about graduate school, if they are concerned about where they're living, all of those questions will be handled in that building. So rather than sending students here, there, and everywhere, we will see a concentrated effort. And then having the student center next door means that the outside of class student activities and groups and support staff are all aligned to help students really connect to the campus.
For students and perhaps alumni who are familiar with Woody Hall and all the services that were provided in that building, what happens to Woody Hall?
Woody Hall needs a major facelift as well as new electrical and plumbing and windows. And so there will be a concerted effort to upgrade Woody Hall, and there will be an opportunity for administrative offices to be housed there, those that are in small houses along Oakland, as well as in basements around the campus.
This allows you some flexibility to get those upgrades done before they need to
move in. Correct, correct.
Okay.
We'll phase it in.
Sure, sure. When we talk about enrollment, we ask each semester, how are things going? The summer semester has gotten underway, and I hear numbers are down. What's happening and what are you doing?
Well, over the past 2 years, SIU has experienced a fairly sharp drop in enrollment in our summer programs. And last fall, I put together a task force to look at all aspects of summer as we are doing with our fall and spring enrollment strategies. The task force report was issued this spring, and they had four major things that they felt were driving the downturn in enrollment in the summer. Certainly, the economic recession forcing many students to work during the summer rather than take classes. The federal government changed the financial aid support for students in the summer, so there's now minimal Pell Grant availability and loan funds for students. And so that's affecting students' ability to enroll. And smaller classes entering that junior and senior year when students start to say, oh, you know, I've got to graduate. I need a class to keep me on schedule. Those also limit the pool. So the task force report really made several recommendations. One of them was to identify the most popular courses, particularly in the core curriculum, or important prereqs, and offer those to our junior and senior classes. Announce the availability of summer courses very early with the spring semester schedule. Assist the advisors in trying to fold summer courses into degree plans, and then changing our own campus support for students, meaning that we had a rule that students had to enroll in six credits before they could get on-campus employment, and reducing that might have an impact, as well as expanding our online and reaching out to high school students and other professional development. We weren't able to implement those changes for summer of 13, but the task force now is going into the next stage, and summer of 14 will be a very different model for the campus. One thing that we did change, though, was the relaxation of the financial aid rules. And this summer, we were able to employ as many students as we did the year before. And there are 1,800 students employed on campus this summer. They're not all taking six credits now. Some of them are taking the three-credit minimum that we set.
For students who have said it's a money issue, it's, you know, these sorts of things, you mentioned online education, distance learning. Is there any talk of going to community colleges and saying, can you make certain classes more available over the summer so that our students could perhaps take these classes and transfer them into the university?
Students are already going home to their communities and seeking employment. And to the extent that they also can take SIU courses online or take courses at community colleges, we will transfer those back in. And through a combination of distance and face-to-face learning and professional development for students who may be adult learners, as well as the camps and other things, we will see much more dynamism in the summer of 14.
Sure. When we look at enrollment for the summer. Now, do you have a number on how far down it is this summer or where the enrollment stands?
I do. The enrollment in the 8-week summer session, which is only the 8-week summer session, is 7,313, and it compares to 7,923 a year ago. So you see that there was a fairly sharp drop in enrollment. And some of the things we can't control, but we can control some others, and we're going to really push forward.
Sure. Looking ahead to fall, we've talked in the past about how all these indicators are showing it looks good, that, you know, we think more students will be on campus. Are those trends continuing?
The trends are. We're up 10% in enrollment and nearly 15% in registrations for student orientation. All of our orientation sessions have been well received, and some of them have been oversubscribed. We have a new student session that we opened up for next Monday, an overflow session, as well as an additional transfer session on the 26th of this month. We're also going on the road. We're going up to Chicago and to St. Louis to meet students where they are in the event that students are having difficulty coming on campus and getting registered. So it's very exciting. We're also seeing that the class will be more high-achieving, more diverse, and it looks like a great class coming in.
Do those students, is new student orientation a requirement before they can come to campus in the fall, or could someone walk in August and say, hey, I'd like to take some classes?
Jennifer, it's highly encouraged, but it is not a requirement. And so we do have students who, for whatever reason in their schedule or their family situation, aren't able to attend new student orientation. But we highly encourage, because we don't want students to be focused on the enrollment in classes when they should be focused on getting themselves started in our Saluki Startup Week in all of the various activities on the campus.
Really making that transition from being a child in high school living at home to moving into that university setting.
Right. And I'd just like to say that we have such great efforts by so many people on the campus, and everything's new. We're changing the way that we reach out to prospective students, the way that we communicate via print or social media, our advising, our open houses, our new student orientation. We revamped everything, and we're starting to see some very, very good results.
You're listening to Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio, and our guest is SIUC Chancellor Rita Cheng. Chancellor, when you talk about an increase in the freshman class, and this appears to be maybe a dramatic increase in the freshman class, last year's freshman class, the class that will be sophomores this year, was also a large class. You still have a very small senior class. So how is fall enrollment going to shake out?
I don't think we can make up for the past in a one major leap here with the freshmen. To the 2 years prior to 2010, the classes dropped almost 13% each year. And so those classes were very, very small compared to the prior years. And as those classes go through the pipeline, we're addressing those. But we've had some small growth each year, around 2.5% each year since 2010. If we have the impact that we think we're going to have this year, and we get our talented but small senior class graduated, we should see major changes in enrollment in future years. But it is a slow process.
Sure. This year, again, probably flat?
Probably.
Sure. There were some things that have come out in the last couple of days that I wanted to talk to you about. Yesterday, we got word that a lawsuit has been filed against the Board of Trustees and portions of the university, and it involves the student trustee, the student from Southern Illinois University Carbondale, who serves as the representative for the students on the SIU Board of Trustees. I wonder if there's anything you can say about this suit or how you're moving forward.
I really can't, Jennifer. We have a policy that we really don't talk about any pending legal issues. I became aware of it yesterday afternoon about the same time you did, and I would hope that this gets resolved quickly and is not something that lingers.
Certainly. We also wondered when we here in the radio station talk about conflicts overseas. We've been talking about Syria for a long time. Egypt is now a somewhat dangerous place to be, in particular parts of that country. How does the university prepare its faculty or let people know about what's going on if they have plans to travel to some of those areas?
Well, we follow the State Department advisories and do not authorize study abroad travel for countries that are on the State Department's watch list. It is just too risky to take students to areas of the world that are in conflict, and we advise faculty and students on alternatives. There are definitely areas of the country right now where we will not authorize that travel. Because of our need to ensure that students have a learning environment in study abroad and that they're safe.
If you have students who are traveling to areas like that and something erupts, as it many times can, is that something where you can bring them home rather quickly? Are they in touch continuously?
We have a full-service Center for International Education, very trained staff, and they are prepared to handle an emergency that might happen. So if we have students that are studying in parts of the world where there is an imminent danger, we will be in touch with those students. And if they need to come home, we have emergency funds to support that.
Perhaps I'm putting you on the spot, but I wonder if anyone has had any trouble over the last several weeks or so as we've watched this violence erupt in Egypt, where people have been told, no, you can't go on this project, or you've brought people home.
We have a discussion right now on a pending trip that likely won't be happening because of the violence that's happening right now in Cairo and other parts of Egypt. It's unfortunate, but we may need to delay or send that group to another part of the world.
Sure. On a final note, some changes that are going on, and you've talked about this in the past, reorganizations, things that are changing at the university, and one of those is a change to the way people may interact with the university on a community basis. If they go to shows at Shryock Auditorium or events through the SIU Arena or other parts of the university, Southern Tickets Online was something that was rolled out over the last several years. But things are changing in terms of how those two entities are working together. I wonder if you could talk about the reorganization.
Well, I hope that the public sees a seamless service. This is really a behind-the-scenes organizational structure to improve the services. We have some staff that will be focused on Shryock, certainly supporting the School of Music performances, lectures, other activities, including outside performances, and the opportunity for people to rent Shryock. There will be other staff that will support the arena and address the requests for larger productions, things that the community has said that they want. In addition, we have a central ticket operation now rather than multiple ticket booths or sources, and that should also streamline things for us. McLeod, also their staff is going to be folded in and part of the support for theater and music, and hopefully we will see more efforts to market and to reach out to students so that our attendance can go up at all of these events.
Sure, and again, that's another way that the university is present in all the communities across the region.
Well, there was certainly also a concern whether we could keep everyone employed and that we could have this service elevated to a point where we were reaching out to the community and providing programming that community members wanted to see and would attend.
So jobs moving, no jobs lost?
Correct.
All right. Good news. The SAU Board of Trustees meets the day after tomorrow. It meets Thursday in Springfield. Anything on the agenda there that you think people ought to be aware of?
Well, we have some pretty routine contracts for supplies, everything from plumbing supplies to computers for the campus. We are launching our tablet initiative, so we do have some software purchases for our freshmen, our e-techs purchases. And we have a formal approval and authorization for our new mission statement.
Absolutely. And again, the Board of Trustees meets Thursday in Springfield, and we'll bring you that news here on WSIU Radio as that meeting goes on. Chancellor Chang, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.